Hallelujah. As you all notice, a lot of us will be leaving for Kenya to go and meet with families that we've not seen for some time. And so we pray, we covet your prayers, all of you. Please include us on your daily agendas to pray for us, even as we travel from one city to another, as we meet our loved ones. As you do so, the Lord is going to bless you. Amen? Amen. And so even as I leave, Pastor Julius will be in charge. So if you have anything that you want to, and if you need pastoral care, you know, he is there. We have Pastor John Dumia. We have Sam. And if you need them, you can call them and they'll be able to help you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I look forward for the year 2017. And there are a few things the Lord have been praying and waiting upon God concerning what we are to do in 2017. And in one of our meetings, and I believe, you know, in one of our leadership meetings, it was mentioned that we need to plan. So that even as we launch into the year 2017, we may do something. The Lord has been speaking. I don't know whether I told you about this last Sunday. The Lord has been speaking to me about honor. And the more I think about it, the more the Lord is exploding, this subject into my spirit. You know, the issue about honoring God. Amen. And I want to do something that we've never done, and I'd like you to be praying about it. Towards the beginning of the year, I believe the first Sunday of the year, I think, will be the New Year, if I'm not mistaken. And on that Sunday, I would like us to give some faith pledges, each one of us. You know, the kind of faith pledges we are going to give is to support the work of the ministry. And this is going to be outside the, you know, our tithes and offerings that we normally give. Would like to consistently support mission work, like we pledge to support Pastor Wilson in Kenya. I'm going to meet him, and in many other areas that we might be wanting to support, you know, mission work. In the year 2017. So even between now and the beginning of the year, I'd like us to wait upon God, pray, and as a family come together and just ask the Lord, how much would I want to faithfully pledge to the Lord? A figure or an amount of money that would be outside the regular tithes and offerings that we want to give to the Lord for the year 2017. And that amount of money will also include the amount that we've pledged before for the building. So you can include it in there. You know, some of you might be able to give maybe $50 a week, which would amount maybe to about $5,000 or $2,500. Some of you might pledge $5,000. It will be a faith pledge that you're trusting God to help you, and so that you can support the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. Usually, down the road, you know, as the year goes, there's some times when we experience lean times and we are not able to meet the obligations. And so when you have a faith pledge to the Lord, you put it at the beginning of the year and you're telling the Lord, Lord, should you bless me, I pledge to give $5,000 towards the work of the ministry at Empowerment Christian Center. And as you do that, the Lord is going to bless you. Praise the Lord. I heard just two amens. Praise the Lord. Do you believe in just honoring God with the substance? Let me tell you guys, everything that we have belongs to God. Amen? All the monies that you made from January to December, it's the Lord who gave you the strength to daily and faithfully go to work and make those dollars. Amen? If you believe so, can you say amen? I said, everybody say amen. Amen. Don't you believe it? That it is the Lord who energizes you and gives you the ability to go to work every day. Praise the Lord. And so if you believe so, it will be a good token, you know, as a good sign to come to the Lord at the end of the year to tell the Lord, Lord, this year I am pledging this amount of money to you because you have so faithfully blessed me to support the work of the ministry. And we can test him in this and see that at the end of 2017, if the Lord will not have done something to you because of your faithfulness in supporting the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. And so just be praying about it. And I know the Lord is going to bless us. I remember a time when we committed ourselves. We pledged about, you know, to give $25, $1,000 each one of us. You know, at the end of the year, we were able to raise a substantial amount of money just because we committed ourselves. You know, the Bible says, write your visions on the wall. Even if it doesn't tarry, it shall surely come to pass. Praise the Lord. And so we shall be doing that, and we'll be giving you a form at the end of the year to faithfully fill. If you want to remain anonymous, that'll be okay. But this is a pledge unto the Lord that we want to be giving in the beginning of the year 2017. And as we do that, the Lord is going to bless us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We don't talk about money in this church as much as I hear it being talked about in many places. And the reason why sometimes I don't do that, I believe, in us taking that responsibility and doing what we are supposed to do. I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank every one of you for your faithfulness. And if it were not for your faithfulness in giving, we would never pay our rent, we would never pay even the constant expenses that we have every single day. So it is not that I'm putting you down. I just want us to do something that we've never done before in honor of our Lord Jesus. And I know as we do that, we are going to be blessed. Praise the Lord. Now this morning, I want us to go into the book of Romans. Oh, I think I have a particular. I usually silence my phone when coming to church. I don't know what happened this morning. So I want us to go into the book of Romans, chapter number 15, verse number 4. I have a text that I believe that the Lord will bless us with. Romans, chapter number 15, verse number 4. So I see Sister Lorraine has already put it up there on the screen. And so the Bible says, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And I'll read verse number 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll read again verse number 4. For whatever things were written aforetime or before this time in the Word of God were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we delve into your holy word, I pray that the Holy Spirit will allow us even to take out of it nuggets that will be beneficial to our lives. Father, I cannot speak this word unless you help me to speak it to us, that we may be beneficial of the counsel in your word. And I thank you because you have planted this word in our hearts, that we may learn and that we may gain understanding through the anointing that surrounds it, and that we may be beneficiaries even as we continue to sojourn, and that it may help us and help us to establish our positions at any one given time, even in the kingdom of God. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you've heard it said, and you've heard me say this over again, that since the inception of the church has suffered tribulations and sufferings, and there are people who have been killed for their faith even long before we became Christians. And when you read the Word of God, it's filled with portions of people who went through very difficult scenarios and situations for their belief. And I'm sure you can identify with what I am saying, because the moment you surrender your life, you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you never entered into a zone whereby there wasn't any problems, there wasn't any challenges, and there wasn't any hiccups along the way. It is as if when you accepted the Lord, there was an acceleration of the things that were so much opposed to you as much as you experienced before you surrendered your life to the Lord. The fact of the matter is, no one single human being has a smooth life, no matter what. If you have a smooth life, or if you have a life that doesn't have a fault in one area or another, I don't know whether you're living on planet Earth. But the fact of the matter is, as long as you are a human being, there is something that has, at any one given time, pursued you that was uncomfortable, and something that you wished it were gone sooner than later. Praise the Lord. And so as I continue to speak, it applies also to every family. You know, you might have it all together in your finances. You might have all together in your careers. Your children might be well educated and they might be doing all well. But there's one thing that you would wish as a family, that I wish this thing never applied, or it never takes place in my family. I remember many years ago when I just met my wife Catherine. I learned so many things about her, and one of the things that I learned that really needed to be taken care of is that they could never communicate between herself with her sister. And I dug a little bit about why this was happening, and I realized that this is an issue that had cropped from the time when they were growing up. My wife always grew up feeling like her sister was well favored by her daddy, and so there are certain things that her father did to her sister better than she, that was done for her. And this developed childhood rivalry until when they were mature to an extent that Catherine, when it came for a time for her sister to get married, my wife could not even bother about anything that my sister, you know, what was taking place, a monumental event in her sister's life, and she would not even bother to go to attend the wedding of her sister. And we came down and we started discussing about it, and I remember taking it to God in prayer, because I thought this was not a healthy relationship. And so we prayed, I prayed, and I remember going before the Lord and asking the Lord to help these two people to be reconciled. And we made a trip to where my sister-in-law was living, and we went up there, and she prepared this nice dinner, and they had a time to talk and to open up and to pour their hearts to one another. And before long, they started crying, and they started confessing their sins to one another, and they started, pouring out things that they thought happened to them as they grew up. And it was a nice thing to just witness them as they hugged one another and as they cried one to another, asking for forgiveness for things that had happened many years ago and things that set them apart. Praise the Lord. And so whether you like it or not, or whether you can confess it or not, there are certain things, even today and even as I'm talking right now, that you'd wish that would be, you know, the Lord would come and quickly deliver you and get rid of it out of your family, out of your person, out of your siblings, or out of your larger family. In other words, as long as we are on this planet, Jesus himself said that we are bound to experience trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In John chapter number 16, verse number 32-33, Jesus speaking to his disciples, this is what he says in verse number 32. Look, an hour is coming and has already come when you will be scattered. They never imagined that they will be scattered. They always were with their master. You know, and they experienced Jesus doing ministry with them, and they enjoyed the moment as Jesus was performing this ministry, and as they witnessed him opening up blind eyes. It never dawned to them that there would come a time when they would be separated from their master. And the Bible continues to say this, that an hour is coming and already has come when you'll be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, Jesus says. And he says, because my Father is always with me. Praise the Lord. And verse number 33 says, I have told you these things that so that in me you may have peace. So that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. The Lord encourages us that in spite of the things that we will experience, and more so, it also happens that we experience more challenges when we are Christians because we are identified with the name of Christ. It looks like there is a barrage of attacks, a barrage of assaults, a barrage of tribulations and challenges that we as children of God, we experience. In fact, I believe statistically that you are more you stand a greater chance to be rejected even as a person, to experience opposition even in your place of work, more than people who do not know the Lord. And why? And the Lord told me that you are being rejected, or you are being persecuted, or you experience these assaults from the fact of the matter that you have me in you. So, you know, when you experience these oppositions, when you experience these challenges, when you experience these assaults from, as it seems, from every corner, you are experiencing this not because you are bad or not because you are not like any other person, but you're experiencing these things because you have Jesus in you. Praise the Lord. But the Lord encourages us and he tells us to take courage because he overcame the world. And so if he overcame the world, we also can overcome our challenges. We also can overcome our opposition. Why? Because he is still on the throne. Hallelujah. I know this message. I'm speaking this message to somebody right now who is experiencing an opposition so hard and so harsh that you'd wish that, Lord, where have you been? Lord, are you still there? When I cry out in the middle of the night, when I'm crying and tears flowing down my cheeks, when nobody is seeing, Lord, are you still there? I am here to encourage you that the Lord is still there. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That no matter the challenges, no matter the opposition, there is hope. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And I love God because he says that, you know what, that the words that we hear from the scriptures are for our learning. Praise the Lord. So that they can comfort us. So that they can give us peace. So that they can encourage us. And so that they can give us hope. Praise the Lord. And I looked up for the word hope. I wanted to find out what just the ordinary dictionary talks about hope. And this is what it says. It is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Praise the Lord. It is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. That no matter what I am going through as a child of God, I know for sure that the Lord will never leave me. He will never desert me. He is always with me. And I have this expectation and a desire that something somewhere will for sure come to pass. Praise the Lord. I know for some people, you've been going through an issue, and it seems like the entry, you can clearly remember the entry point of the issue that you got into. It could have been maybe a sickness from one of your loved ones. It could have been maybe a challenge that has faced your marriage. It could have been maybe a challenge at your place of work. It could have been something that came that causes you to be so uncomfortable. And you can remember clearly the entry point, but it has seemed like forever. It has seemed like this thing will never go away. It has seemed like you are going to stay with these things for all your life. But I'm here to tell you, for every entry point, there is an exit point. Praise the Lord. When I study the scriptures, I see things that I see people and the characters and the patriarchs of the Word of God. I read and I see an entry point to certain things that happened to the men of old. And they suffered and they went through travail. But I also see an exit point. Praise be to God. So if there was an entry point to any issue that affects you, I am confidently telling you that the Lord, even though you may not see it, can see your exit point. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love the person who said that to every trouble, there is an expiration date. Praise the Lord. There's no trouble that has ever hit you that God doesn't see the end of it. And there is hope for a child of God. Praise be to God. Many times we come together when our loved one has died, and they may have been, you know, they may have been in the Lord, and we come together and we raise money and we come together as a community, which is a good thing. But you know, the word of God encourages us that even though that person has died, yet he still lives. Amen. For a person who dies in the Lord, his life never comes to an end, but actually he gets into a better zone. He gets into a better country. He gets into a better place where he is in the presence of the Lord. So there is no loss to anything that happens to a child of God. Somebody shout a hallelujah. Amen. If death is my exit point, so be it, because I want to live on this planet long enough so I can do the work of the Lord and fulfill the call of God in my life. But if death comes to a point whereby it will take me into the presence of the Lord, I know that it's not a loss, but it is a gain. Praise the Lord. And Paul said to be absent in this body is to be present in the body. So there is no loss to a child of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, opposition did not just start, you know, when we read through the church history, even during the Roman Empire, you know, there was persecution, you know, to people who knew the Lord. We find Jesus coming even into the world sin, and he is coming in as a savior. And in the first chapter of the book of John, chapter number 10 to 12, the Bible says that he was in the world, and the world was made through him. In other words, he is the architect, and he is the one who planned and created this world. And he comes into this world to rescue the inhabitants of the people that he created, people who rejected him, people who went astray, people who disobeyed his commandments. He comes into the scene or in the world to rescue him. And it says he comes into the world that he created, and the world did not know him. The Bible also says that he came to his own, because we are all his. We are created in the image and the likeness of God, and his own did not receive him. So rejection just started, culminated during the Roman Empire. But we find even the Savior, Jesus Christ, coming into the scene, and he's experiencing rejection. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So whether we like it or not, we have trouble, and we have things that we all go through. No one is exceptional to say that, you know what, my life has been straight. Whenever I need anything, all I have to do is call on it, and it's there on a silver platter. When I need my children to go to school, all I need to do is just call my godfather or some senior in the government, and my children go to school. No, there's no one who is like that. We all experience challenges, and we all experience tribulations. Praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, the things that we go through, the things that you experience as a person, I wish, you know, you'd wish whether they would bring peace. Praise the Lord. You know, heartaches and challenges that you experience all end up in despair. I wonder even people who do not have the Lord, how they live. You know, if we as children of God experience challenges, yet we can go to our Father and cry on him and lean on his arm, and he is able to deliver us, and thus giving us hope. How much more do people who are ungenerated really, really, really look forward to have a helper in their lives? Praise be to God. And what happens is our challenges cannot create any hope. Your troubles by themselves cannot create any hope. You wouldn't have a light at the end of the tunnel through the challenges that we have. But through the challenges and the difficult times and the trials and the tribulations, if we didn't have a helper in the Word of God, if we didn't have a helper in the name of the Father, if we didn't have a helper in the name of the Holy Spirit, if we didn't have someone we can call to in the name of Jesus, we would all be desperate. We would all be heading towards a fall. But praise be unto God that when we experience trouble, when we experience heartaches, when we experience trials in our lives, there is a person that we can run to, and his name is Jesus. We can call upon the name of our Father. We can get into the scriptures of the Word of God, and it can encourage us. We can read of people who went through travail. We can go through, we can read of the stories of people who experienced difficult situations. And we can look at our situations in light of what they went through. And we can be encouraged and move on. That is what sustains a child of God. Amen? If we didn't have the Word of God, if we didn't have the name of Jesus, trust me, we would never be here. Some of us maybe would have ran, you know, we would have out of our mind because we would have been subdued by challenges. Oh, thank you, Lord, that when we call upon your name, you are there for us. You may not really have seen it physically, but the Lord is working behind the scenes even to alleviate some of the problems that are lined up by the devil in the future for you. So in other words, because you're a child of God, the angels of God, and I believe the power of God has already gone before you, knock out any assault on your behalf that is lying for future to knock you up. Let me tell you, if it were not for the power of God, there are some of us here who the Lord has sent out assaults to completely kill you and to kill your face. But the Lord, through his design and his love for you, he has gone before you and ruled some of those assaults on your behalf. Hallelujah. That's why you're still here. If it weren't for God, some of us, you can look back and look at how the Lord has delivered you. You can look at the little things inside of the soul that you are sick in this area. Somebody may have declared that, you know, a person non grata in this country and you should have been deported. But God has a limit. It is by his power that we are here to pray to God. It's natural for us to think that we have what it takes to go through the meandering of life and to... You maybe have a good personality when you speak, doors open, and you know, by just your presence, just things happen magically. We can say that. But it comes a time when you are fixed between a hard place and a hard rock. So that when you look on you and when you look on the right, if God doesn't show up himself, you wouldn't make it. And I know some of us can remember specific times when you cried upon the Lord. It came to a point whereby you could not even pray. You had even to ask, solicit for other people to pray for you because of the magnitude and the energy that was coming towards you, that you could not even pray for yourself, and that you had engaged other brothers and you engaged other sisters to call on the name of the Lord on your behalf. And surely the Lord came through and delivered you, and you rose up again, and your head was high, saying, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to Jesus. We can read about Paul. His anguishes. In fact, in the Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1 to 3, the Bible says, this Paul speaking, he says, I speak the truth in Christ and I am lying. Can you imagine even Paul saying that? Just in case somebody thinks that he was lying. That my conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ. For the sake of my people, those of my own race. In another version of the scripture, in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, 22-29, I know this is a little bit of scripture, but it's important that we read it. And this is what Paul also writes and says. 1 Corinthians 11, 22-29. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are you all Abraham's descendants? We are all Abraham's descendants, right? Are they servants of Christ? Are you a servant of Christ? And there it paraphrases and says, I'm out of my mind to talk to you like this because you know I am. And he says, are they servants of Christ? And he says, I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, being flogged more severely, and being exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, that is 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. Have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger with false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? That's why it says in the book of Romans, chapter number 4, verse number 15, that no matter what I'm going through, there's no way I can read that portion of the scripture when I'm going through travail and not be encouraged. And that's why the word of God is written, so that we can be encouraged and so that it can stir up our hearts when we are faint-hearted, when we are almost feeling like we want to give up this race. I can read about Paul and get encouraged. Praise the Lord. For there was no one time I can remember that I was almost shipwrecked. None of you, I don't think any one of you has been shipwrecked almost to a point of death for the sake of the gospel. But if this guy called Paul, and you know what, one thing I like about the word of God and the men of God, when the Bible talks of Elijah as a man just like me, amen? We are no exception. We are all descendants of Abraham. We have what Elisha had in himself. We had what Elijah had in himself. We all had in himself. I had what Noah or Abraham in this manner. We are no exception. But you know what? There's no way I could be going to travail. There's no way where I could be almost giving up and saying I'll do it again. Because let me tell you, at some point in my life I felt like I don't want to do this anymore. Has somebody ever felt like, you know what, enough is enough and just getting out and I can't do this anymore? Am I the only one? I know at a certain point you felt like, you know what, you know, this child, I don't even know what to go there. This husband, this, my father, my mother, with the words that she told me when I was young and growing up, you felt like you want to walk away, right? At one point in your life, you felt like you wanted to walk away from things that was so dear to you. You felt like you are so willing to walk away even from serving the Lord. Praise be to God. But that's why the Bible says that this scripture that we read today was written out before us, put there for our learning, so that we can have hope in times of adversity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Scripture is a Word. It's God Himself speaking to us. Praise the Lord. When you open up the Bible and you're reading it and you allow the meaning, the interpretation, or the revelation word to penetrate in your soul, it is God Himself speaking to you. And so you need to take those words so graciously, because it is God speaking and encouraging you and telling you that you can make it. Amen? Hallelujah. And one thing about I love about the Word of God is that there's nothing that the Bible doesn't address. There's some of you right now who feel like you've been tortured and no one even understands. When you go to work, they don't even, your boss doesn't even talk to you, doesn't even say hi to you in the morning. And this has been happening every day, every single day of your life. Or there's a certain thing that has hit you. It could be maybe your life, your marriage, or your children, or whatever it's that is close to you. And every time you think about it, you feel like Paul who said, three things the Lord has given me. And I prayed about those things for the Lord to remove them from my life. But it deceived the Lord, never even hearkened to the voice of my voice. And instead of the Lord withdrawing those things from Paul, what the Lord speak to Paul? He told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Praise the Lord. In the midst of calamity, in the midst of tribulations, there is grace that is available. Amen? When you're having those difficult things, even when you don't, you know, there are some times when I can be engaged in a conversation with somebody and is calling me as a pastor to just tell, you know, pour out his heart. And they're going through a very difficult situation. And to be honestly, I don't have any answer. When they pour out and they give me the whole enchilada of what is happening, I mean, I just say, Lord, you know very well that I don't know what I can tell this sister or this brother. And the only thing I can say, I can see in their life is that the grace of the Lord is sufficient for them. That the grace of the Lord is going to sustain them. That what I can do is go to my knees and pray and intercede and ask the Lord, please do not withdraw your grace from them. Because if you did, they would never survive. Lord, do not withdraw your word and your soft voice from whispering into their ears that you are constantly with them even as they go through what they are going through. Lord, they may not know, they may not see an exit point, but I know because you create the ending before you come to the beginning, you can see the ending of what they are going through, Lord, and please assure them, give them this glad hand assurance that, Lord, you are surely, you will bring this to accomplishment in their lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God that he is always there for us. There's nothing in a man's trouble to make him hopeful. Many times we'll drive ourselves in despair in any event, and we'll drive ourselves to hopelessness. And there's a link, and the link is the scriptures, the word of God, Jesus himself, the Father. See, when you have trouble, and when you're experiencing tribulations, the hope is not that because you are having problems or you're having those challenges that you're facing, that out of nothing, you know, hopefulness will create itself. But it is when that problem and when that challenge meets with the Lord, and that link is what creates hope for you. The assurance that something is going to happen in your life. Praise the Lord. And blessed be to the Lord. I found this and I'll read to you. That the Christian view of sorrow, while it leaves much unexplained, it focuses on these two points, and that's what I told you. The origin of that challenge and its end. I'm here to announce to each one of you that there is an end to what you're going through. I'm here to announce to you, church, that there will be an end to what you're going through. The challenges that you are experiencing right now, if only you can hold on to God, God understands everything. He's the one who created you. He's the one who understands everything. And our Father was so gracious to send Jesus in form of a human being. So that what we experience today, Brother Sam, he also experienced. And so when he is handling your problem or the challenge, he clearly understands as a human being. And he knows how he is going to do it. And why sometimes we miss it is because we feel like God is so far away. Why we miss the point and why we struggle and why we complain and murmur is because we feel like he's so far away. As a matter of fact, sometimes we have gone to an extent of doing the work that he is supposed to do in our lives. We take matters into our hand and we feel like, you know what, I've called upon the name of the Lord to a certain extent and this thing is not working, so I'm going to do this thing to help him. While he is in the business of working out behind the scenes of how he is going to take you out. Ah, praise be to God. When I knew the Lord has spoken to me about coming to him, and I know you are bored about this story because I've told it 1,000 times. But I'm here, I've left my work in Kenya and I've gone, I've said, Lord, I've called upon you. I thought you told me that I was going to go to the United States of America. Huh? So I've called upon the name of the Lord and I've waited and I've prayed and I've written a resignation letter, earning good money to provide for my family. And so I go to the embassy. I don't get a visa. But I thought God spoke to me. I felt like something. Like I heard his voice that, you know what, I'll take you there. And so after some time, I said, you know what? I think God never meant it. And so I catered a ticket to South Africa. I said, do you think America is the only place I can go? You know, that's how we come up with other options. You know, the Lord never spoke that. Kwani, America is the only place I can go. When you know you've tried and you really, in your Noah, that is where you want to go. But he said, you know what? That's not the only place. Kwani, that's the only place I can go. I'll go to South Africa. Nini. So I go to South Africa and I hook up with my bishop and I go and apply for a certain college. I save a certain money for the enrollment fees and I come back to Kenya and I waited and I waited and no letter and I waited. And I said, Kwani, what is all of this? I mean, have you ever tried to really do something and you knew that this is exactly what the Lord was telling you to do and it didn't bear fruit and you wondered? And you came also to a conclusion that this thing ain't going to happen. Right? But the thing why it is not working is because we are working with our own timetable. We are thinking that God would adjust himself to our own timetable. Right? God might be looking for that I am going to work on your character or I'm going to work on certain things so to prepare you so that when you get there, it will be you like it. He is preparing a package. My God, I wish he can just give us a sneak peek of what he is preparing us. And therefore we can relax and know that, you know what? I don't want to rush. I want to get it when it is well cooked. When it is behind the back burner and it has simmered. You know, they say that the good food is the food that is staying on the cook pot for a long time. It is simmering. Simmering behind the scenes. By the time you get it, it is nice and it is well palatable. God is cooking something behind your back burner. It may have taken a long time, and I feel this is for someone. It has taken a long time, but God is not working with your timetable. God is working with God's timetable concerning your life. If you love this, can you say amen? I know it doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense because when I left work, I came back and I could not go to South Africa and I had to provide for my family. I resulted in selling pineapples on the streets, calling out on mananasi, and they were bought. And finally, beyond any belief, you know, like the way we feel green cards, just a green card, you don't. Even purity centers remind us. Some of you say, you know, I've filled it for many years. And you have given up. I talk to my brothers. He says, Tony, every time you tell me to fill green card to apply, I told him, maybe that has not been meant for, maybe that year was not the one that is meant. God has in his calendar the year that he wants you to come. Amen? So I tell him, Continue filling it up, because you never know when God says, yes, it is time. Many times we've missed it out because you said, I can't do this no more. And you know what? Some of us just come, you know, give up at the 11th hour when God has simmered everything behind the scenes and is working out something miraculously. And you give up just the 11th hour. And we miss. He was just about to give it to you. Do not give up. Whatever has an entry point has an exit point. If you don't get anything from this service, know in your heart that whatever has an entry point, Sister Purity, has an exit point in your life. Amen? Job. We read about Job. What do we read about this man of God? You remember the torture that he went? Job was a rich man before he was attacked. You read the Bible. It tells you that he had all these things. He had animals. God had blessed him with children. God had blessed him with good health. But wait until there was an entry point. The enemy went before the Lord. You know the story. And he suffered for a long time. Amen? He wanted to test his faithfulness. But an end came, an exit point came, where the Lord restored everything. And because he passed the test, what do we read about about Job? God restored everything. What? I am here to tell you that God is preparing a double for you. I know, preachers preach this. And they say, there's a double for you. But listen, this if you have been faithful enough to God, and you have stayed in his presence, and if you're saying that I'm not going to quit, and God has proved to you, and you have not given up on him, there is a double for you. And he's going to restore everything for you. Amen? No matter how long it's going to take, God will come through for you. And I went and we applied for that green card. And in the midst of so much desperation, actually there was so much desperation in my house in Langalanga, Mwisho in Nakuru, that you could see smoke. You could actually see smoke and there was no fire. Just coming out of my house because of desperation. Everything was just wacky and everything was not working. But I'm going to the post office like this and opening up the Kisanduku ya Barua. And I'm receiving the only letter that was in that office box. And it says, congratulations. Welcome to America. How do you feel I felt in my heart? It was almost after 4 years. Waiting and going to Catalonia, even fasting. And going to Catalonia in the cubicles there and waiting and crying. Until my wife calls me, now come. I think God has heard your prayers. I was there long enough and I said, God, even if I'm going to die here, you have to answer me. You know, sometimes I really feel so bad because God does so many things to us and when he does those things for us, we forget. I wish I can go back to those Catalonia days when I used to go to those cubicles that I'm not living here even if I'm going to come out bones. I can't remember I ever did that in America. Because in Mefika, God forgive us. You know, when the Acacia is called, I cannot go to Acacia because in Mefika, America. But I believe God is calling. God is calling on us for more than America. America is nothing. And I'm not saying literally that it is nothing. I mean, compared to what God has prepared for each one of us, it cannot compare to America. God has greater vision for each one of us. Greater stability, greater riches, greater things that we can trust God for. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Let me tell you, it is good to experience the deliverance of the Lord. Because when I remember those days and how God came through, I know that he is Ebenezer. And that he works out even in mysterious ways. When you do not expect him, he will come through. Hallelujah. And I believe with my heart that whatever you're going through, that God will come and fight for you. And that he will never leave you, never forsake you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are some of us, we found ourselves in places that we were not supposed to be. And we felt like I've been exposed. Lord, how did I even get myself here? But you know, I can go into the Word of God. There's a portion that says that a righteous person falls down how many times? Come on, talk to me, church. A righteous person can fall down 7 times, but he wakes up in every one of those. Why do you think he wakes up in every one of those times? Because God is beckoning you to help you out and to bring you closer to him. He desires you. He desires your fellowship. So do not feel like, you know what? Lord, I cannot make out this. I have fallen out. God says a righteous person can fall down 7 times, but he rises up every 7th time. That's why we have this word, that I can be encouraged when I fall. I can come back to God and say, Lord, your word tells me so. And Lord, I rise up again. And I'll rise up again to serve you. And I'll rise up to support the work of the ministry. You may have been with that sister or that brother who felt like, I no longer have that desire to serve the Lord. I no longer have desire to pray. I no longer have desire even to read the Word of God. I'm so much inclined to making money in America. Listen to me, child of God. If you have fallen, there is hope for you. Because God says that a righteous person can fall down 7 times, but he energizes that person to rise up again and continue to serve the Lord. Let me tell you, God is not going to send any person from Mars. He doesn't have any human beings from any planet. He is looking upon you, and he is working with you with your weaknesses and to help you so that you can accomplish his purpose here on this earth. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're so judgmental as human beings upon other people. You're looking at a person and you're looking at their flaws and you're looking at their weaknesses and we are judging them and condemning them. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? The Bible says, let those who feel are strong enough take care, because they can also slip down. Are you listening to me? Oh, I know I'm preaching. We can be so judgmental. You're looking at a person and you want to disqualify them. Oh, huyo. Mungu anaweza tumia nani? Ni kama hana watu ndio anaweza tumia huyo. Who are you? God can use anybody. If God used a donkey, he used a donkey to talk to a prophet. In fact, he said, I can use stones to praise me if there's no one to praise me. I mean, God can use anyone. God can use this woman you see here, as we call her mom. And God can use her tremendously, even more than Bonke. Mba Mushangai. I'm telling you the truth. God can use anyone. Let us not disqualify anyone. Amen? Let us not be judgmental. Because we are all precious before his eyes. When God looks at me, he smiles. Even with my flaws and my weaknesses. He says, you know what? Once I touch him, I can make him up. They call it a makeover. There's this thing I so used to see, you know, a makeover. You know, a lady comes there, you know, shabli, you know, the hair not done, you know, she's looking like, you know, she just came from Nyeri. No, let me not say Nyeri because I'm going to get in trouble. She just came from Kiambu. Kiambu, and you know, she just came there with red soil on her dress, and you know, she has, when she was walking, she's walking like this, you know, and you wonder, oh, really? Seriously? Kiambu? But when, let me tell you, when there's these ladies who come and make her over, and they start doing her hair, and they start doing her mascara, and they start doing her lipstick, and they start doing her, you know, her face, and they start doing her dress, and they start even training her how to walk, not walk like this, you know. Man, when she comes out of there, she's going like something like, you know. And you wonder, is this the same woman who came from Kembu? Is this the same woman? Is it a copycat? But let me tell you, that is what God is planning to do for you. People may have discouraged you and put you on a corner and say that nothing can ever come out of your house. But when God's finger touches you, oh my God, when God's finger has touched your house, You don't even have to advertise yourself like Cowboy or Kimbo or whatever they advertise, because they will know that surely the Lord has visited this brother. The Lord has visited this sister. The Lord has visited this family. Amen. So do not judge anyone. Do not look down on anyone, because God can change somebody. Woo, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. And as I conclude, remember how the Bible says in the book of James 1:1-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever there's trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. In other words, the Lord is telling you, rejoice when you have trials. Amen? And Hebrews 12:1-4, and I'll read this and I will stop. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside everything that hinders and the sin so that easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against him, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against him. Amen. And from that I found out endurance. There's no way you can endure. This is what the endurance means. The fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. The fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Amen? And this is what it's telling us. That we are running a race and we have to endure. It is not going to be pleasant sometimes. People are going to call you names. People are going to call you, look at you. You have an accent. People are going to reject you. But you know what? No matter how they talk, I am going to stay on my lane. Let us stay each one on his lane. Not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. And let me tell you, surely the race will come to an end. And I look forward for that glorious day when each one of us is presented before the Father. And he will look at you and say, wow, look at this daughter. The difficulty that she went through, even though I was with her, I remember, and the Lord will say, I remember the point where she almost gave up. But she said, no way, I have to continue serving. I have to continue serving. I have to keep on keeping on. I have to continue to endure. Amen? Let us not give up. Let us not give up for one another. Let us be our brothers and sisters keepers. Amen? Not our brothers tormentors. Not as agents of the enemy. That we are like news. We don't want to be like broadcasting stations or organizations. Every time their antenna is open, hearing what somebody did so that they can pronounce it. If there is a bonfire in California, they are the ones who are not. By the way, have you guys watched the local news in like Channel 4, Channel 5? You wonder where these guys get all the bad news. Somebody killed somebody, or an apartment burned somebody with a child, and the firefighters was killed doing this. You know, it's like, wow. Their antennas only catch negative things. We don't want to be like such organizations. You know that always, I'm actually a GPS trailing a brother so-and-so, looking when he's going to fall so that I can broadcast it. No, we are not going to be like that. But I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be the GPS who is looking for when this brother is in trouble so that I can get on my knees to pray for him so that he can continue on the race. I'm not giving up on my brother. I'm not giving up on my sister. I'm not giving up on my family. I'm not giving up on anyone family at Empowerment Christian Center. I'm going to be an agent who spreads good news for everybody and stands for the right thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Shall we stand on our feet? Amen. I can't even finish this. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Close your eyes as we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful. It is an honor to stand in this house that is called by your name, along my brothers and this my sisters, O Lord. Father, we stand here asking you to forgive of our sins. If we erred against any one of us, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. And Father, if we crossed somebody's path intentionally, we ask you to forgive us. May you sow in us the genuine love for one another and the care that we ought to have for one another, that in this regard we may glorify you, O God. How I pray that you shall sustain each and every family. There are families here, Lord, who have been hit by a financial problem. There are families here, Lord, who are having problems in their marriage. There are families here, Lord, who are having a troubled child somewhere, or a sick child, or a sick parent, or a sick relative, O God. Father, we lift our needs unto you, O God. And we petition your presence, O Lord, that it may be involved in our lives in the name of Jesus. How I pray that we shall be genuine ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. No matter how many challenges that we face, no matter how many assaults that are directed towards us, we shall stay on our lane, staying the race, O Lord. And Father God, we read of patriarchs and men of old who went before us. When we read their stories the things that they went through, it encourages and it strengthens our hearts that if they made it, we can also make it. In the name of Jesus, strengthen each and every brother, strengthen each and every child, strengthen each and every woman. Father, continue to knit us together with bonds of love that cannot be broken. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're saying, you know what? I want to begin right this day. I want to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any one of you? To receive Jesus is very easy. You have to believe in your heart that he is knocking at the door of your heart. If you'd never harden your heart, he will come in and transform you and change you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10 that it's through the heart that a person believes and confesses with their heart unto salvation. So if you can just believe in your heart that he died and rose again and seated on the right hand side of the Father, you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be born again. Anyone, lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Julius.